to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Hello, I am Victoria Reese. I'm the director of Transformer, and we are here today for Transformer Artist Talks on Full Service Radio. This is our second talk today in the Full Service Radio program. Transformer is a nonprofit visual arts organization based in Washington, D.C. Our mission is to connect and promote emerging visual artists. And we do that through all sorts of programs. Current one is a mentorship program called The Exercises, where we have brought in an incredible visiting mentor artist to work with DC artists, focused specifically on textile and fiber arts. And he's here today at Full Service Radio with me, Ramakan Oowisters.
Hello there.
I love seeing you. I'm so glad you're here in Washington today.
I'm happy to be here.
So in addition to the exercises program that you came to give mentorship to some emerging DC artists around their work, you're also here for a crochet jam. We got a lot of things to talk about, but first want to start with your work as an artist, as a fiber and textile artist. How did you get started, and what exactly does it mean to be a fiber and textile artist? What does that involve?
Well, thank you. That's a good question. You know, I started originally with drawing and painting. I thought that I would become a traditional artist, working with materials that were more of a traditional base, oil on canvas, acrylic, other materials. And I've been doing that for like 20, 25 years. And it just wasn't working. I wasn't able to... The materials weren't allowing me to be able to express the feelings and concerns and issues that were related to my background and my emotions. The context wasn't there. So I thought, well, maybe it's time that I go to my roots. My grandparents were textile workers. My grandmother, great-grandmother, and my mother were all weavers. They sewed. They made quilts. My father and my mother worked in a textile mill, Hanes Knit, when it was in the U.S. Now it's overseas, I believe.
Where was that based?
In Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And after a while, I figured, you know, if you keep doing the same thing, expecting different results, something's there. They say it's verging on insanity. And I thought, you know, I've been working with materials that were not a part of my historical or personal background. You know, everyone wears fabric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone. I mean, we either born in fabric. Some people, you know, they transition out of this world, out of this realm in fabric. And fabric is a closer tie to my experience than oil on canvas. That's a Western European expression. Mostly straight white males using that medium and as a way to express their worldview. But it wasn't working for me. So I figured, you know what? I need to find my journey. And stop having to fit myself into a worldview that didn't reflect my experience. And textiles was the way to do it. And so one day, when I had this epiphany that I needed to, like, you know, just step back and see who I am and how that relates to what I'm creating. I had this epiphany when I was younger. My grandmother allowed me to change the pattern of her quilt. She had, I was growing up in the Jim Crow South in the 1960s, black and queer, and my grandmother, who was probably much more privy to who I am than I was, said, "Come here, boy, help me with this quilt." And I thought to myself, wow, grandma, that's the last thing I need to be at, you know, as an adolescent, is being caught sewing, you know, with my father. But in those days, if an adult or a parent asked you to do something, you had a few milliseconds before it meant life or death situations, mm-hmm. here, because mm-hmm. they were not going to wait much longer. And I came over and she said, you know, pick any color, any fabric you like, and I'll show you how to add it to my quilt. She didn't say, cut it like this, cut it like that, and we'll make sure it fits into the same pattern. She allowed me to break the pattern. The quilt already had a pattern. a traditional African-American quilt. And the symbolism behind that was huge. She couldn't change the pattern outside of her home, you know, in Jim Crow South and the bigotry and the homophobia, all the other issues that I was dealing with. But she was able to say, you can be embraced here. That will gird you to navigate those issues when you're older.
But a sense of freedom.
A sense of freedom and yeah. liberation, you know. So I figured, you know, why not help others? You know, why not make my art give to others what I need? I needed to be embraced. I needed to be accepted for who I am. I needed to be appreciated for my creativity, allowed to become who I needed to become. So instead of me asking other people to do that for me, why don't I do that for others? And Crochet Jam came out of that.
So for people that are just joining us, I'm here with Ramakan O'Owsters. He is a artist based currently in San Francisco, visiting here in Washington, D.C. to lead a Crochet Jam today, June 22, second day of summer, here in Washington, D.C. with Transformer. We're here for Transformer Artist Talks on Full Service Radio. And Ramakan, I wanted to ask, so has your practice always been about in working with fiber and textile engaging community? Did you start at first working in a studio by yourself, like sort of closed off, or were you always pursuing a artistic practice that included working with other people, working with communities?
No, that started about 6 years ago when I organized the a thing in my home. I called it Stitch, where people would come over and we would sew rag rugs together. And it would just be friends that I'd invite over. I'd have refreshments and coffee or whatever. And people would come and just hang out in my living room, and we would sew these rag rugs together. And then I applied for a residency at the De Young Museum when they had an artist residency program there. It no longer exists now, but when they had one there. And the director of the program liked my idea of community, engaging the public, using fabric as the conduit for initiating social interaction. But the idea of needles, she didn't like the idea.
How do you bring that out into the community, out into
absolutely,
the public?
Absolutely. The whole idea of, you know, the headline of a 5 or 6 year old contracting, you know, like hepatitis C from
or just museum insurance policy.
Yeah, yeah. Just wasn't going to work. So I had a dilemma. Like the concept was quite powerful, but the execution needed to be rethought. And so I was talking to a friend of mine, and telling her about my project, and she said, "Well, those are rag rugs. You can crochet rag rugs." And that's when the light bulb came on. Like, crochet, I never heard of it. You know, I'd even thought about it before. So I was also working with one of my colleagues at work, and she showed me the basic crochet stitch, you know. And I thought, well, you know what? Instead of using needles, we're just going to start crocheting these using the folk art tradition of rag rug making to foster social interaction, creativity, and liberation. The idea being that once you are taught to crochet, once I show you, the learning curve is like 5 minutes. It's very short. A four-year-old can do it. I've seen them. Then you're liberated to select any color, any pattern of strip of fabric that you want to add to whatever you're creating. So since we're not following any rules, you can allow the material to inform you about what it wants to become.
So you can even use your hands.
You can use hands
in place of like the
finger crochet. Yes, right.
Needles or
right. So it doesn't rely on having, you know, any other apparatus other than, if you don't have a crochet hook, you definitely can use your hands. But most of my work before I was doing social practice was social commentary, mm-hmm. and it came from a part of me let's just call it the dark side of my black gay experience. It's much more angry, full of rage, that wasn't quite getting people to engage. It was the work was a bit more confrontational and provocative,
And this was your sculptural installations,
right.
Work.
Right,
yeah.
Yep. And it wasn't, I mean, it was, it came from a place that was, where I haven't been able to get on the other side of my anger. Whereas Crochet Jam is on the other side of my pain. Pain meaning growing up in a culture that I don't feel embraced, in a family situation that I don't feel embraced, and not being heard. So instead of me, you know, pining away for someone to hear me and accept me, my thing is, well, do it myself and help others get there too. You know?
It's a very special thing, having participated in the crochet jams before and seeing how people come together. It's a wonderful experience. So for people who are just joining us, I'm here today, Victoria Reese. I'm the director of Transformer, a nonprofit organization here in Washington, D.C. That connects and promotes emerging visual artists. And I'm speaking with Ramakan O'Owersters, who is a visiting artist from San Francisco, who's been mentoring some D.C. artists who work in fiber and textile arts in their work, and also is leading a community crochet jam in D.C. Today, downtown in Farragut Park, which is actually, it's part of the By the People Festival. So this is a exciting tie-in for what you're saying about community and, yes. And outreach and engaging people in something that is moving beyond a painful experience you had, issues of identity, family, and really creating a creative moment for community to come together. And I'm wondering if you could speak a little bit more about that, like how the crochet jams evolved and how you have worked in different formats with different communities.
It's evolved rather slowly. Meaning that I started, you know, with my group of friends, you know, and then that was kind of like the testing ground for the whole idea of it. And then it moved from there to like schools, convalescent centers, senior citizens residencies, art fairs, San Francisco International Airport with their employees. It also involved around the whole idea of allowing people to maintain their agency, because that's what I feel as though that I don't have had a hard time being able to be in a culture that will accept me not as others want you to be, but as you are. And so when I do the crochet jams, I am the perceived authority of the event. I'm responsible for the event, but I'm not the authority, meaning that whatever you're crocheting, you don't need me to tell you it's beautiful or that it's ugly or that it's right or that it's wrong. You have the technique and you can even experiment within the technique. But I want to maintain my agency in a culture that finds controlling who we are is paramount to maintaining our social engineering. And the cult of conformity runs rampant, right? So even though I am an authority. I'm an authority over a table of rags, and people still want me to tell them what to do and to judge them for what they create.
That's
it goes
how
that
we're
deep.
Conditioned. Yeah, how we're conditioned to follow.
Yes, you know, and I'm sure if I'd say to people, well, we're making a definite object, a rag rug, a scarf, or a pot holder, and I said we are creating 8 rows of red, 4 rows of blue, people would search through the piles of fabric to find, you know, red and find blue and do exactly as I tell them. But that isn't anywhere near as raising the awareness when someone comes into an event and you're on your own.
What do you think has been the most remarkable in the different crochet jams that you've led, seeing who enters the room and then how they leave it at the end of the experience?
Well, I have some people come into the event, and I say, well, welcome to Crochet Jam. My name is Ramakan. May I show you how to crochet? And then they say, well, what are we making? And I say, we're making social interaction, creativity, and liberation. And they say, what are we making? So sure enough, you're in Cape, but a rag rug. What are we doing? And I say calmly, it's an experience where you're not being told what to do, and you're not being judged what you create. They go, oh really? Well, how do I get some? That would be great. So that people are ready to have an experience where they are liberated.
Right. Is there a conversation about this being art, or and you know it, when you say it's a social interaction around liberation? Do people ask, is this art?
And well,
how do you define that?
Yes. Well, they have the. Everyone has a concept, as you know, what it means to be an artist and what art is, and who is an artist. Mm-hmm. And so, there, you know, most people are looking at the idea of a product, not so much a process. So I'm saying the process is the art. You know, how you interact with the materials, how you're able to allow the material to inform you about what it wants to become, where you're letting go, and you're enjoying the mystery of the transformation of the materials. And if you allow the materials to become what they want, whether it's marble, wood, whatever, the materials will reveal its secrets.
This is some exciting stuff.
Right? If you try to control it and want to force it into a shape that it doesn't want to be, it will resist, and you'll come up with something that everyone else has, or it'll just be something that has no real compelling form or shape. And by extension, we as individuals, when we're allowed to be who we are, blossom and contribute to the community in ways that we won't be able to if we're controlled, manipulated, indoctrinated, right? So I see this all as an extension of who we want to be. So I can see when people's body language, when they come to Crochet Gym, and I say, allow the material to become what it wants to become, and they their shoulders drop, because they also can hear, wow, if the materials can become that and I can allow it, then maybe I can allow myself to have the ideas and concepts that I generate from the inside out. So I don't see this as a separation. I see them as, conceptually, we all want that. We all want to be allowed to become who we need to be in an environment where we're not being told. Like, if someone comes to you, you know, and says, Victoria, how can I help you become who you need to become? What do you need from me? Does it mean, do I need to, may I cut your grass? May I cook you a dinner? May we walk in silence to the park?
I'd like all those things.
Isn't that great? Right?
Yes.
But no one, when was the last time someone said that?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Right? I mean, when someone says that, they're, you know, you feel cared for, because you're not trying to say, I know what you need. I know what you need to become. You need to do this, 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 and this. But to listen, like with the materials, you have to listen to the material. You have to, the touch of the material changes. The colors change. So you have to be willing to let go.
Well, it'll be interesting to see this afternoon how the downtown Washington business district of the Farragut Square Golden Triangle bid engages with this. We were meant to be outside in Farragut Park this afternoon. I don't know, the sun is starting to come out a little bit. Maybe we might end up in the park. We're going to be down in a shop made in D.C. On 19th Street for now. And it will be different people coming out on their lunch breaks from all different kinds of corporate offices around the Golden Triangle bid in Washington, D.C., Farragut Square, as well as people from hopefully all over the district, and visitors who might have learned about the By the People Festival that Halcyon is running this four-day weekend, first weekend of the summer here in Washington. So it'll be exciting to see the engagement people have around the Crochet Jam. For people who are just joining us, I'm Victoria Reese. I'm the director of Transformer. Transformer is a nonprofit visual arts organization based here in Washington, D.C. And We are on full service radio today with Ramakan O'Ousters, who's visiting from San Francisco and is a fiber and textile artist who leads crochet jams, which are an incredible community-oriented experience, creative experience, artistic experience, that I would say really are around freedom, personal freedom, and engaging with community, your neighbors, and in a really freeing and open way. I'm wondering how, so crochet I get, how did it come up to be crochet jam? What's the jam?
Well, no, jam, from what I understand, is like jamboree, mm-hmm. right? The whole idea of it, you know, it's a festival, it's an activity where you're, it's exciting and it's playful and it's interactive. So I wanted that connotation associated with my social practice, crochet jam, and also tie into the whole idea of dancing, music, play. So that allows people to be able to let go of some of their inhibitions when they hear, like, you know, crochet jam. Like, what is that? What is that? And that's what I want them to do. Like, what is crochet jam? And my, you know, and what do I bring to the technique of crochet? Now, crochet is thousands of years old. I'm not changing the history of crochet. It's, you know, I'm only taking crochet out of one context, you know, mostly within the home, using yarn to make objects for the house or garments. And putting it in another context, in public, in a safe environment, you know, to express or to explore a whole another context of social interaction, creativity, and liberation. I mean, if there's anything brilliant that I do about crochet jam, it's that I'm able to take it out of one context of crochet, putting it in another context, you know, in public with strangers.
And the materials are often brought together by the community that you're working with.
Yes, I ask the community to donate, you know, used, repurposed, recycled materials. And it's all repurposed, reused, recycle.
So anything from like bed, I mean, what makes the best fabrics to use?
Remnants.
You know, like
T-shirts where people have tried to fix a garment or make something, and then they have remnants from the apron that they've made, or the shirt, or the blouse, or the skirt. These remnants, because they've already touched them, they already know how they feel. So it has a whole different connotation than if I were to just go into the thrift stores and pick up fabric.
So this is really about process.
Really about
process.
The
experience is about process.
Yes.
But what about the final piece at the end of the jam? What happens with the results of the jam? And have people said, I want to take that home, or
yes,
where's this going to
go?
Yes,
they do. Yes, they do. Like, sometimes, you know, if you didn't know me and you saw my studio and all this fabric, you would think Ramakan's a hoarder. Right? You're like, oh my God. So I decided, you know, it depends on the organization, because I receive donations or stipends and a material fee. And, you know, and the organization can say how they want to. They may want to keep the material if the participants want to donate it and make one large object out of it and keep it as part of their process of interaction as a symbol of the community. Or the organization may decide, well, everyone can keep whatever they create as a memento of their experience, where they're not being told what to do and they're not being judged by what they create, which is great, because every time they see it or every time they touch it, it takes them back to a moment where they are heard. You know, I'm not your authority, I'm not telling you what to do. And it's soothing, and you feel cared for, and it's an object that can provide a moment where you feel secure,
and something they can continue with.
Absolutely, they can keep adding. They can cut their own fabric. They can, you know, I can show them how to finger crochet. They can keep, you know, and can teach others how to do it as well.
So yeah. I'm picturing a bunch of, you know, lobbyists and lawyers coming down K Street this afternoon and learning to crochet jam
the lawyers,
taking it back to their offices
and putting it in a cubicle. You know, it's great because, you know,
we're teaching them some good meditative practice.
That's correct. You know, because, you know, depending on your job, or your, you know, there's a lot of stress. There's a lot of conformity. There's a lot of, you know, these are the rules, and you have to play by the rules. There's no such thing as, you know, but where is creativity? Creativity is being able to step on the other, to stand on the other side of those rules and look back at culture and see it from a point of view that isn't, you're not able to do if you're in them, if you are in the stew. Once you step out of it, you're able to have some perspective and able to reflect. And Crochet Jam is just a way of having people just to slow down and just have a few moments, like you say, of being meditative. It's not meditation, but it's meditative. And that's where ideas that you hadn't thought about before can come to the surface. Because if you know, a fish would be in a bowl would be the last thing to know that it's in water.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because you know you've always been in it. So until it jumps out of the water, then it knows the importance of the water. But it's too late then.
Yeah. Well, so for people who are just joining us, Victoria Reese with Transformer, nonprofit visual arts organization here in Washington D.C. And we are, I'm speaking today with Ramakan Oawasters, who's an artist visiting from San Francisco. We're talking about a social practice that he leads called Crochet Jam. And he's done this in communities all over the country.
This is your
first time in Washington, though,
correct?
That's correct,
yeah.
So what is your, do you have an expectation or a thought or goal? I mean, just thinking about this, this practice, this really beautiful program taking place in Washington, a place that is so charged, you know, especially right now. What are your thoughts about being here in the district?
Well, one, I want to say that I feel honored to be asked to be a part of the event. I feel very fulfilled that something that I've been doing that has such a childhood memory of being cared for, that I'm able to carry that forth from my grandmother, who's no longer living, but I'm in that legacy, mm-hmm. in the legacy of helping others, and to know that as an artist, as all artists are, we are extremely powerful. I don't need to be told that I as an artist is powerful. I can just know that everything around me in a culture that finds artists have to meet so much indifference, that wouldn't be necessary if we weren't powerful. Powerful in the fact that I'm here and I'm not expecting you to do anything other than to engage if you like or not. You know, I'm a conduit for the type of growth that I would hope people would want to experience. And then I have to be so secure in my own framework, my own concept of who I am as an artist, to say that people have a choice. You know, this is not required. You're able to engage on any level. You're prepared to go with it, and I accept it as it is. Right? I'm not trying to say, well, I'm going to change the world by telling you what to do. No, I can change the world by allowing myself to become who I need to be in your presence.
Mm-hmm.
And that changes everything around me, because other people are like, wow, I too want to be able to let go of my preconceived notions, my anger, my hatred, my bitterness, my fear, just for a few minutes, to be able to navigate a world where I can maintain my agency and to help others do the same. To be honest, I have no expectations other than the fact that we'll be there and we'll invite people to come and crochet with us.
We will.
And, you know, and it's amazing, you know, that if a wooden hook and some strips of fabric can be frightening, how powerful can one be if that is all it takes to shake your, you know, to shake your power at its foundations, you know, people crocheting. Now, the whole idea of it being so conceptual, I mean, I'm not looking at any of this literally. You know, it's all conceptual, you know, mm-hmm. the fabric, the interactions, you know, and that goes deep. that reaches the unconscious, you know, abstract ideas and, you know, like, you know, what do we associate with, you know, fabric? And I get a lot of people who tell me, you know, this reminds me of when I was with my grandmother or with my mother. I mean, she was showing me how to do this or how to do that. And it's a whole idea. It's kind of tender in a way. People bring up memories that they haven't even thought about in a long time, that they pushed away, that they really need to help, you know, to help gird them and bring them back and to calm them down. So when we're calm, we're able to make decisions that can help ourselves and others in positive ways when we're calm.
Well, I thank you. So, I mean, this is, it's, I have participated in the crochet jams before. I can attest to it being one of the most beautiful projects that I've ever participated in. And I'm very excited and honored to be a part of bringing the crochet jam to, and you.
Thank you.
To DC. And thank you to Full Service Radio for having us here today. I'm, again, Victoria Reese. I'm the director of Transformer. We're a nonprofit visual arts organization based in Washington, D.C. Our mission is to connect and promote emerging visual artists as well as new and best practices in contemporary art. And we are very honored to be presenting a crochet jam hosted by visiting artist Ramakan Oawisters. In Washington, D.C., in collaboration with the Golden Triangle Bid, and it's also a part of the By the People Festival taking place this weekend, hosted by Halcyon. So I encourage our listeners to check out crochetjam.com, where they can learn more about crochet jams and also contact Ramakan about bringing them to their community. And also to check out the By the People Festival at halcyon.com and also learn about Transformers' work at transformerdc.org. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter at FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook at Full Service Radio. Thanks for listening.